You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
Hello, trade pros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast. We often mention that there are a lot of similarities between traders and professional athletes, but why take our word for it? In this week's show, we've got a special treat for you in the form of Mr. Nate Ajay. Now, for those of you not familiar with Mr. Ajay, he is a professional wide receiver for the Toronto Argonauts. And in today's episode, we have a great discussion with Nate about the synergies between that of a professional trader and that of a professional athlete. I think you guys are going to find a lot of great insights and a lot of great nuggets that you can walk away from and apply to your trading. So let's get at it. Welcome, Nate, to the show. What's going on, dude?
Man, I'm ecstatic to be on the show with you guys. Love everything you guys are about. I'm learning more about your world, and let's get it, man.
Yeah, we're super stoked to have you on the podcast today. And let's open up the floor here. I'll let you kind of take charge here and kind of introduce yourself to the audience. Let them know who you are, what you're about, and let's jump right into it.
Yeah, man. Obviously, like you said, my name is Nate Ajay. I'm in my seventh year in the CFL. Obviously, our season got canceled this year, and that's kind of how me and George got hooked up, but we'll get into that later. I play football, receiver, the receiver position. I went to college at University of Buffalo in the States, and you know, just an overall lover of life, and excited every day that I get an opportunity to make a difference. So I appreciate you guys having me on.
Awesome, man. Like, this is already the best podcast ever, because I think you got the coolest name. Like, when I was first like looking you up, I'm like, this got to be a nickname, but no.
Yo, honestly, to be honest, when I was younger, I hated my name because it was so different from everybody else's, right? I always asked my parents, like, why don't you name me Will? Because I used to watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air all the time. Yeah. Like, why don't you name me Will, or a name that people could, like, pronounce? No one could ever pronounce my name, and I hated my name. But as I got older, and obviously my name is of Ghanaian heritage, I grew to love my name. And the more announcers would meet me, they're like, man, I love saying your name. It rhymes and it's different. Yeah. It's like Nate Ajay, right? So I grew to appreciate it, and I thank my parents now all the time.
That's awesome. It could have been Will, but it could have been Carlton too. So, yeah. Like, you know.
You're right.
One token. That's great, man. Yeah, thanks for coming on the podcast with us. Because in trading, we often talk about, like, a performance mindset and the psychology behind. We liken it to athleticism and being an athlete. And obviously, like, people who see me on Instagram, they know I'm not an athlete. But, you know, it's the mindset of it. So I think, you know, we're honored to have you on to go into a deep discussion in this. And I think the audience is going to learn a ton.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, like, for sports, a lot of the performance that you see is physical. Like, the stuff that you see is physical. But what leads people to perform on that field is all mental, and it's all up top. So, you know, there's a lot of parallels in both of our industries, and I'm excited to explore that today.
Awesome.
Yeah, 100%. You've had a chance to kind of check in on what we do. So I'm kind of curious to hear off the bat, you know, how much of a synergy do you find between, you know, what you do on a daily basis and what it takes to be successful in trading?
Man, it's I'm like addicted to it now. Going through the courses, I'm like, I just keep kicking myself. I'm like, why didn't I get into this sooner? But it's just, I don't know. There's so many correlations to what you guys do and to what I do, because, you know, I find that in sports, especially sports, like, you get in, you get out what you put in, right? So you're not going to be a great player just sitting on your ass all off season and not, you know, putting in the work, right? It's going to show, right? And the same thing with you guys, right? If you're not doing your research, if you're not on top of your game, like, every single day, it's going to show in the results, right? You can't hide from the results. So that's one thing I really like, right? You get in, you get out what you put in. And I really appreciate that about what you guys do. And there's no faking it, right? There's no pretenders, right? The guys that put in the work, it's going to show day in and day out, and year in and year out.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. I have a quick question for you to kick it off. Like, it's not on the notes at all, but it just popped in. And, like, I'd love to know, like, what drew you into a career, you know, of being an athlete? Because it's a hard avenue, right? There's definitely easier things to pursue. But like, what drew you into you? What do you love about what you do?
Dude, it's funny because I remember being in the fourth grade, and my TR teachers, they always ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? And at the time, I wrote down professional athlete, a professional football player, and my mom almost lost her mind. And I was like, I don't know, something about football. I watch the game, and I get butterflies, and even though I'm not even playing. And then I go to play. I can play all day. And you know, even when you're not getting paid to play, it's something that I get excited to do. I could do it all day long. I could be tired. I still wake up and want to go play. And my dad, I remember my dad telling me, I was in ninth grade and I was waking up early to go do wind sprints before school. Right. And he was like, this is when I knew you were going to make it. It's because no one is telling you to do this. No one is telling you to get up. No one's telling you to train, but you're doing this on your own. And it showed me that you're willing to do whatever you took. And I'm like, I don't look at it as hard work. I just want to get better. You know, I want to be faster. So I figured out, you know, this is the time I have to, you know, get an edge. I'm going to take it. So, I don't know. That's a great question, but that's kind of what drew me to it. It's something that, you know, you can't explain. You know, you love to do it. You would do it even if there's no monetary value attached to it. And you're willing to put in that work even when you don't feel like it. That's something that I know that's in me and a lot of professional athletes. Like they will put in that work whether they feel like it or not. And that's why they get to their level. So my dad saw that in me at a young age. I didn't even know I was doing it. So that's how I knew football was for me and sports were for me.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's absolutely awesome. And you mentioned something in that memory that your dad mentioned that I knew you were going to make it when no one told you to do what you had to do. And, you know, you were going out there doing wind sprints before school. And what I appreciate about that, first and foremost, is, you know, that's the same kind of mentality you need to have in trading, right? It comes down to kind of like self-accountability and being the one that's putting in the work when no one's watching, right? Because a lot of what you see about trading, especially on social media these days, it's, you know, lavish cars, people on the beach, you know, with their laptop, you know, making life-changing income. But the reality is that majority of that stuff isn't what professionals are like. But even further to that point is the ones that are real, you know, you don't see the journey from where they started to where they're at, right? You're only seeing the end result. So can you kind of speak on, you know, as a professional athlete, how important it is to be accountable to self?
Absolutely. And before we get into that, like, that's the same thing with sports too. Like, you'll see athletes and you see like them in like fancy cars and, you know, dating the hottest women and things of that nature. And you think that's all that is, right? No, it's not that, you know, if that's what is attracting you to the sport or the game or, you know, to trading, then you're in it for the wrong reasons, right? That might be a result of what happens if you put in the work. But if that's the only thing you're chasing, chances are you're probably not. You're doing it for the wrong reasons. But accountability, man, huge, 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 especially in the world of sports. Because like I was saying earlier, there's going to be times and a lot of the times where, you know, no, there's going to be no one there to be pushing you to do what you have to do, right? It's going to be up to you to have goals, to be better than you were the day before, to be better than you were the year before, and to keep pushing, right? Because, you know, I always say, man, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And the only person that knows that is you, really, right? So, you know, maybe you'll have a coach that pushes you, right? And some people do. And but if you don't have that internally inside you, you're not going to go very far. Because, you know, throughout my life, man, I've seen so many people that, you know, were more talented than me, right? But the only reason why I'm still playing is because I'm willing to put in that work every single year, every single day, right? You know, you could have that talent, you know, and the talent can only take you so far. But if you're not willing to put in that work and be accountable and understand that you have to get better every single day, man, you're not going to go very far.
That's why that's a fascinating answer. That's why I asked you today, like, how your passion came out. And you weren't out there watching YouTube videos on throwing a football or catching it. You were doing wind sprints in the morning. Like, that's not, you know? And so, yeah, I love to hear that because, you know, we all want to get the success. I think part of this is like falls the responsibility on social media. Everyone puts on their best day. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, like, fans watch the game and the players create the score. So it's like, it's such a high level of accountability that you have to have of yourself. And like, such a relentless drive. Like, even me this week, I just I openly talked about this. I lost $8,000 in one day, and I've been doing this for 20 years. So it's like, you know, battling through that stuff and having the determination, like when I'm at my worst, this is the most opportunity that's presented to me. I think that's kind of the mind state that carries me, at least.
Absolutely, yeah. Man. And, you know, you were telling me before we got on, and I'm like, you know, no, good days are going to happen, bad days are going to happen, right? But it's all about how you respond, honestly. Like, you know, any coach will tell you, man, it's not about what you, how you act on your great days, right? It's about how you react on your bad days. And that's what shows who you really are, right? So are you going to quit and you say, man, training's not for me after 20 yeah. years and you have one bad day? No, no, you wouldn't get to this point if that was your attitude, right? So, you know, obviously you're a great trader, and that's why you've been in it for 20 years, and you've got, you know, skills and ways that you go about your business that has made you last this long. And it's the same thing with a professional athlete. I mean, you have one bad game. Are you gonna retire and say, man, I don't know if football's for me? No, it happens, right? So, but it's about how, you know, the great players will have bad games, but they don't have bad games, you know, 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row, right? They keep coming back and they keep adjusting their routines and getting themselves back to where they were at. So that's why you have averages, right? I mean, so yeah, you know, your average isn't low, right? You know, and so that's yeah. the way it goes sometimes.
I feel like people think that the better you get at something, the easier it is. And like, I think with trading, it's and probably with playing sports as well, the better you get at stuff, the harder you got to work for that small incremental change. You got to lift more, you got to push harder. And it's like, that was the reminder for me on that bad day. It's like, look, you might be doing good overall, but this is the kind of day that puts you back into like work mode. So, because you get to a point where things start to feel a little easy, you know, you slip a little bit and then boom, there's like a something pops in your radar. You're like, oh man, I got to get back to work. So I took it as a positive, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great mindset, man, because, and that's like really a winning mentality. And there's a quote in sports, like greatness it isn't something that it just comes, man. It's leased, right? Every single day you have to go earn it, right? So that's just a reminder of that, you know, every single day you got to go earn it. And it's not going to come easy. It's funny, man, when it feels like everything's going good, you always get a little reminder, man, that like, okay, this is like not forever. I mean, you got to always work to stay right there.
Yeah, man. I love that quote. Greatness is leased. Yeah. That concludes the podcast.
that's definitely one I noted down here. And so, you know, I like where the conversation's going. And, you know, further to that point, there's two things I kind of want to touch on. And that's number one, expectations. Right. And, you know, I'd like you to kind of take a moment to discuss expectations, right? Because, you know, further to that conversation we had about social media, a lot of people see what they see on social media and that's what they expect it to be, you know, when they decide to go after it. And so, you know, from the perspective of a professional athlete, you know, would you say that when you were up and coming, you know, did you expect that when you get to the pro leagues, it's just going to be coasting from there? Or was it more of a, you know, I expect that it's going to be hard work and I got to work on my day to day to kind of build myself up and get to where I need to be?
Man, that's a fantastic question. And, you know, for me personally, it's never been easy. But from the jump, man, I had like a rude awakening of football because, you know, early on, you know, I tried out for my rep team, right? I think I'm okay. I tried out for my rep team and I get there and dudes are just as fast as me, you know, just as good as me. And I'm like discouraged because I'm used to like being really good. So I'm discouraged. You know, this is in high school, my high school rep team. And then it's like the same pattern that just keeps continuing. So I get to college. So how I react after that? Okay. So these guys are better than me. Okay. I have to work harder. I work harder next year. I come back. I'm one of the best on the team, right? It's all through work. Then I get to college and I have a good high school career. I get to high school, get a scholarship, I get to college. Everybody's just as good as me, if not better. You know, matter of fact, I was probably one of the worst on the team, right, at the time. And I'm thinking, man, what is going on? Like, okay, so I take a step back. I'm like, I've got to work. You know, at that point, you can either quit or you know, come back stronger. So spend the whole year getting faster, you know, realizing my weaknesses, coming back way better. The next year, one of the best on the team, you know, and that cycle continues. Like, I get to the league, you know, my very first training camp, man, I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, these guys are, like, I'll never be as good as these guys, right? But And I'll spend the whole year working, you know, understanding, adjusting, right? And the next year come back better, and it just builds on and builds on. So that's kind of been my intro to football, because it's never really been easy. It's always been through work. I've never been, you know, the most talented guy off the jump. But there are guys that come in and they're immediately immensely talented, but then they don't realize that they have to work. So they think it's going to be like that the whole time, when it's not. So I'm equipped to handle failure, because my whole life I understand that, you know, it doesn't start out, you know, great, but through work, it's going to eventually be great, right? So that's why, from my expectations, I've always understood that whatever I get into, immediately I'm not going to be the best. I know that if I am, they're great, but I'm still going to work. But it's going to take work, but eventually I'll get there. So that's what I am with expectations, and that's how I treat everything.
That's fantastic, bro. That's such a good like mind state, you know. And I want to ask you a follow up question. Like, it's going to get a little dark, not in a dark way, but we're going to like unpack some of it.
I like it.
Yeah, like, you know, when you're working that hard and you have to, you know, like, I don't think anyone who's like, you know, a leader in their sport thinks that they're the best. I don't think you get to be the best with that thought process, mm-hmm. to be honest with you, right? So you're working all, like, you know, you always have to catch up. Every single year you got to get better. Do you ever in that process, like, stop and think to yourself, like, why am I doing this? This is like so hard. And like, is this for me? And then if that's the case, how do you get through those moments back on the path of greatness?
Dude, I don't think you'd be human if you didn't have those moments, man. I had so many of those moments where I'm like, why am I even doing this? Let me go try another sport. Maybe baseball would be easier. I'm hearing they're getting paid hundreds of millions of dollars. Let me go try baseball. But it'd be the same thing. Any other thing I'd try to do, right? It'd be the same thing. So, but the thing is, it just always comes back to, for me, the love of the game, right? Like, I love the game so much that, you know, through those dark moments, I'm willing to just tell myself, just stick through it. Like, some of the toughest times, especially, has happened, you know, with injuries, right? I remember, you know, having a great college season, man, like 3 games into the year, I break my ankle and I'm out for the whole season. And I was like in a dark place, man. I was thinking, man, why am I even playing? It's first of all, the injury's painful. All right. And second of all, man, I'm watching all my friends. It's almost like watching your friends go off for recess and you can't go. Right. So I'm watching all my friends having fun, you know, making plays on the field. And I'm like, man, that should be me. But I only added fuel to the fire, man. I'm only like, if I want to feel that feeling, man, I've got to attack each day. Take it one day at a time. Like, just try to win the day. All right. So, you know, I for my rehab, I'm like, okay, let me get my ankle 1% better today, right? And then do that the next day. Next thing you know, a day turns into a week. A week turns into a month. And a month is a year. Next thing you know, I'm already back on the field, right? But it takes that mindset where you have to understand, okay, I'm down right now, but I'm not going to be down forever. I have to take it one day at a time, because you can't get it all back, you know, at once. Like, if you're in basketball or football, you're down by, you know, 20 points. One shot isn't going to get you right back in the game. You got to hit one shot. You got to start one shot, then you got to start with two, then three, then four, right? And then build that momentum and get yourself back. So that's how I always try to treat things. You know, you have to recognize in the moment that you're down, but you've got to take it one day at a time and try to win that day, right? Let me celebrate the small wins. Let me win one day. Let me win 1 week, then I'll win the year. You know what I mean? So, and go like that.
Yeah, man. You know, I really love that you brought up one day at a time, you know, win the day, because I think that's so important as it relates to, you know, the trader's journey as well. Because the way that people think that this industry works is that you start off and then you just, you know, it's a straight progressive line, nice slope, no pain, no drawbacks, anything like that. But the reality is that for most people, you know, it's going to be, most people underestimate how long it actually takes to get to the point where you're at least break even, right? And so, you know, going back to what you mentioned with the injury, right? I can imagine if you know, the day that you got injured, if you were just thinking about down the road when I'm going to play again, that would be a different story than the way that you approach it, in the sense that, you know what, instead of thinking about when I'll be back on the field, I just got to focus on 1% better today. And, you know, I think that's a huge synergy that we have with trading, right? Because at the end of the day, you're going to be putting in a lot of work and there's going to be a lot of doubt, especially when you're getting to the point where you're at break even, right? And like you said, you'll have moments where you doubt what you're doing, where you doubt why you even got into it, but you've got to have the why, right? And you mentioned your why is you love football, you have a passion for it. And I think that's another important thing to bring up too, is that your why has to be, you know, powerful enough to get you through those dark times. Because, you know, a lot of people, I can say I got into trading initially because of the money, right? I would, you know, Georgie, you can chime in yourself, but it's for the money, right? But if that's the sole reason why you're getting into trading, you know, I can argue the same with football. If you want to get into football to make money, that's not a strong enough purpose, right? It's not a strong enough why to get you through those dark times. So yeah, I just thought it was brilliant that you brought that up. And one thing that I kind of want to transition this into, you know, on the topic of one day at a time, you know, routines. How important are routines? You know, I can imagine the team has a routine, but as an individual athlete on the team, I'm sure you've got your own set routines in place. So can you kind of speak on, you know, what kind of routines you might follow and how that kind of helps you as far as getting your mindset in the right place?
Yeah, especially as an athlete, routines are really important because you can almost, you know, not guarantee success, but understand why you're having success and understand why you're having failures based on your routine, right? So if you're somebody that doesn't have a routine and you don't know why you're playing well or you don't know why you're playing bad, how could you ever get better, right? And because you don't even know what's going on, right? So it's a way to almost track what's going on in your field of sport. For me, I love, man, you know, for the week, obviously the team has a set routine, practice, film, practice, film, practice, film, right? So I have my routine for the week where, you know, obviously the first day that we have practices, we usually have 3 days of full practice, right? And then one walkthrough day, then game day, right? The first day of practice, obviously, you know, get there early, get a workout in, right? Then get ready for practice. We'll have meetings or whatever, go over the plays, right? Go to practice. After practice, you know, everything's filmed. I'll go home, watch the film, make notes on what I did well, what I didn't do, the plays I understand really well and the plays that I need to study more. So I understand that. So the next day we'll go back, we'll watch the film as a team. Obviously I'll work out early, go to meetings, practice, right? The same plays that I didn't do so well, right? I have a note of them. I'll ask the questions if I need to. And if I need more clarification, I'll go with that approach as well, right? And I'll go home after practice, watch the film again, right? Understand, right? Make my notes, see what I did well, what I didn't do well, mark those down. I understand. So by the end of the week, I'll know all the plays that I really know well, all the plays that, you know, I need clarification on, and I would have gotten those answers by the end of the week, right? So when it comes to game time, man, I'm ready to go. Like, I understand, by that time, I should understand every single play. I should understand what I'm doing on every single play, right? And that's kind of my mode to have success, right? And it's worked for me. And I understand that if I go through that every single week, like I'm geared myself up for a good game. But if I don't do that, if there's a week that happens and something is off, or I remember one week where my wife was giving birth that week. So my whole week was off, man. I felt terrible going into the game. And I can't even remember. It was a whirlwind. I can't remember if I had a good game or a bad game. But I tell you what, I didn't feel good. And that's never a good feeling going into, you know, a game, right? So I need to stick to that routine because I know I'll set myself up for success on game day. But if there are times where I don't have a good game, I understand, okay, I got to tweak something in that routine. Maybe there was a workout that I did that fatigued me too much and I couldn't get the same explosion I needed in the game. Tweak that, right? But I still stick to the similar routine and just makes tweaks here and there. And that's what something that works for me. So I always understand that I set myself up for a success by sticking to that routine, right? So that's for me. A lot of athletes have routines, and it's not just superstitions like, okay, before the game, I'm putting on my left glove before my right glove, right? Because that does no one any good, right? No one's going to remember that. The announcer's not going to be like, hey, man, he scored that touchdown because he put his left glove before his right glove. No, that doesn't work like that. So it's more about the routines that you're able to stick to. And it's, like I said, it's going to be something that, you know, you're able to stick to. Like, someone else can't follow my routine because it's not, you know, personal to them. Like, they have to be able to stick to it because maybe you like playing video games after practice and that helps you calm down. Do that, right? So it's got to be a routine that you understand that, you know, allows you, you can repeat, and it allows you to have success.
And that's what people don't see in it, that watch just four quarters of 15 minutes. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's the part that's lost on everybody. It's like, in a way, in sports, it's unique. and harder than trading in the way that if I'm not doing well and I don't feel like I haven't done my routine or not feeling good in the morning, I could choose not to trade.
Right.
But I imagine if you go to your coach, like, coach, I don't want to play today. I imagine you're probably going to be trading quicker than, you know, you're going to be off the team pretty quick. So like, exactly. That part's hard.
Yeah, that's the thing about sports too, because that's not even an option, because if you don't play, there's going to be somebody else that's like ready to step in your shoes. And next thing you know, he has a good game. You never play again. Right. So there's always that pressure, you know, to always, you know, perform and you know, be on. And it's funny that, you know, trading and football is very similar, but with that respect, it's very different.
Yeah, you have to show up. No matter how you're feeling, you got to suck it up, and then you got to go 100%. Like, so can I dig into that a little bit? I'd like to know, like, when you're having a bad day, and, you know, for the Argos fans, he never has bad days. You know, he's on point. We're not trying to, like, sewer him here. But let's say you get to game time and you're going on the field and things haven't gone the right way. Your routine, maybe you're not, like, as, you know, not excited, but you're not 100%. You're not, like, where you want to be. So how do you take that and quickly adjust to, as soon as you hit the field, giving it 100%, even though things are like pulling you back or things are less than optimal?
Yeah, that's a great one, because there are times where you're sick, or, you know, there's you know, a game every week, right? 18 weeks straight, right? You're not going to be as high as you can for every week. There's going to be different motivations for every week, right? So there's going to be times where you feel low, right? There's going to be times where you don't feel up to it, right? But there's at a certain point, like, football is a game where, you know, if you're not up for it, you might die. You know what I mean? There's somebody gonna take your head off, so you better be up for you know, going 100%, because, you know, not only, and there's that factor too, accountability with your teammates, right? So if I'm not going 100%, I'm letting my teammates down, I'm letting, you know, the fans down, I'm letting more importantly myself down and my family down, right? So I owe it to always go 100% no matter how I feel. Right. And obviously, I'm not going to be up for every game, but there's been points where, you know, I haven't felt 100%. My body's been killing me. Right. But I've had my best games for whatever reason, because you're able to tap into something that, you know, whether it's, you know, not letting your teammate down, not letting your quarterback down, or not letting your family down, you're able to tap into something that, you know, gives you that extra motivation. So that's something that is a very interesting question, and not a question I've really thought about. But, you know, I've had so many games where, you know, there's just so many that you can't be, like, super up for every game, right? But there's always something that you find, whether it's your teammates, like I mentioned, or, you know, your family, that gets you going, because you know you have people relying on you, right? And that's ultimately it, right? Like, if it was just me, I'd be fine with playing, you know, doing. But I have pride, right? So I understand that, you know, I don't want to put a bad product on the field, because it just ultimately it represents me.
Yeah, that's great, man. It's like, sorry, Mark, I know he put his hand up, but I asked you that selfishly, Nate, because, like, when I have a bad day, or when I wake up in a bad mental state, I assess my mental capital. My strategy is, where am I at from 0 to 10? I got to be 7 or above based on the criteria I look at to even trade. But being able to say, yeah, you know what, I'm not a 7, I'm not trading, is like an out. You know, it gives you an out, and it's almost like those are the days maybe that you should go in and work through it to build some more, like, mental strength. So that's why I asked you, because in trading, it's unique that you could tap out, but I don't think you should be doing that often. I think those are the days where, like, when you're sick and you do it, you gain more, like, accountability and skill.
Right. But you have a process, right? Sorry to cut you off, Mark, but you have a process that you go through, right? And you've had that process for, like, probably a number of years, right? And you understand that, man, if I'm not feeling this certain way, it's probably not great for me, because I might make decisions I might not make other times that I feel great, right? So that might be a great thing for you to have, because it may have saved you from a lot of losses. But like you said in your trade pro, like, for when you don't, days that you don't trade, you can't count the losses, right? Like, you know, a loss, you can't count the losses before they happen, right? So, like, that's something that, you know, you can definitely look towards and say that, hey, man, even though I didn't trade, I didn't lose that day anything. Obviously, I didn't win, but you can't, you know, start bookmaking. It's like, if I traded, I would have won this, or, you know what I mean? So, I think you've just got to analyze what your process is and just stick to it. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm at the stage where, like, I know when I should go and when I shouldn't. And, like, I've been in it so long that I've gotten that understanding of myself. But I think newer traders struggle with that, right? Like, knowing when it'd be like the equivalent of you saying, you know what? Let's just play this game tomorrow. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, it's cool when that's not
I've had
option.
Days like that too, though. I'm like, man, I wish we could just cancel this game. My body's hurt. Or let's just play tomorrow, man. Like, but you obviously, like, you know, TV contracts and, you know, everybody's ready to go. You can't go off of one person. It's not an individual sport, right? So, oh, man, I wish.
Yeah, there's some, I mean, everything you're mentioning here is gold, but there was one thing I, in specific, want to go back to, and it's where you mentioned the part about reviewing, right? Reviewing game tape, seeing where the weaknesses were, seeing what you did well and working on those weaknesses. And the reason I'm going back to that is because, again, you know, for the audience, this is how professional athletes work, right? It's about consistently progressing. And even at a professional level, you're still going to make mistakes. There's still going to be things that you can work on. And what I'm trying to get at with this is that like Nate reviews the game tape, sees what he's got to do, makes those adjustments for the next time, you know, during practice or during game time, very similar to what a trader does, right? Traders, what do? We take trades, we review them at the end of the day, we review how well we followed our plan, and we optimize, right? So I think that's something super important. And, you know, going on the topic of making mistakes, all right, we know Nate here is he's a high performer, he's a player that comes in the clutch. So what I got to ask you here is, you know, obviously not everything is going to work out perfectly. And sometimes mistakes will be made, especially during high pressure situations. So my question to you is, you know, when you make a mistake, it's inevitable you're going to make a mistake. You know, what do you focus on when you make that mistake, and how, what's the process that you kind of apply to overcome it, to bounce back from it?
That's another great question. You guys are full of them today. You know, like you mentioned, like, mistakes are inevitably going to happen. Like, coaches will always tell you, I don't care if you make a mistake. Everybody's going to make mistakes here. I'm going to make a mistake as a coach, right? But the most important thing that they tell us is, do not make the same mistake twice, right? So for me personally, like, when I make a mistake, you know, I obviously get frustrated. I get mad at myself. I ask myself, why did that happen? I understand, was it a technique issue? Was it a going 100% issue, or, you know, energy issue? Like, what happened, right? Or was he just better, right? So, you know, there are times where, you know, in football especially, man, you're going against other great athletes as well. And it's not, most of the time, it's not a issue where, you know, you're not going 100%. It's more to, you know, you had a, you know, bad technique, or, you know, he just had better technique, or, you know, something happened along the lines. But it's up to you to analyze that and understand what you did, why it happened, and correct it for next time to make sure it never happens again. And, you know, there are many times where, me personally, man, I make mistakes. And, you know, it's everybody can see it. And, you know, everybody can tell you, like, I'll have, you know, run out the field and fans are like, well, you should have caught that ball. I'm like, yeah, I know. You think I'm trying to drop the ball? So, like, things will happen, right? And it's up to us to correct that. And it's up to us to make sure it never happens again. But certain things are going to be inevitable. But it's just about eliminating mistakes from happening twice. And everybody's gonna make mistakes, but you can't be out there making, like, mistakes all day, right? You gotta also make great plays too, where, you know, they look at your great plays and it kind of balances out, right? So, like if you're like a LeBron James, right? LeBron James makes mistakes all the time, right? But he makes plays that nobody else can make, so nobody even thinks about his mistakes, right? So that's something that, if you're gonna be a great trader or you're gonna be a great athlete, Your good plays always have to outweigh your bad plays. You can't be out there making mistakes left, right, and center, and then making minimal play great plays, right? They'll never see your great plays. They'll only remember you for your mistakes. So that's one thing. You know, we're all in high stress situations, high performance industries, and, you know, our great plays, our great days definitely have to outweigh our bad days.
You know, it's funny with the word mistake, right? Because it's easy to say it's a mistake with four replays and, like, a bag full of popcorn on the couch. But, like, in game time, it's not a mistake. It's a decision, uh-huh. Right? Like, you have to make a decision that leads to a mistake. But yeah, how often do you see these great plays that are replayed that started with something that could have been perceived as a mistake? You know, so, like,
all the
I think
time.
That, yeah, right?
Dude, all the time. Honestly, with our coaches, they say some of the greatest plays happen with mistakes, right? So in practice, guys, you know, they have plays drawn up, right? And guys, you know, run the wrong route, right? But then whatever reason, a guy's wide open. They're like, oh my God, all of a sudden, that's a great play, right? Let's put that in our plan, right? But sometimes they happen off of mistakes. So not all mistakes are created equal.
That's hilarious. It's a decision in the real time, and how it plays out depends. So you're in there and like the doing your dance when you get the touchdown. In your head, you're like, I can't believe I pulled this off.
Yo, sometimes that happens, man. Honestly, sometimes that happens, but people would never know. It's almost like, you know, like a great musician, right? They could play the wrong note. Only they would know, right? So, and people are like cheering it, but in his head, he's like, oh man, I'm getting away with this? Like, you know,
yeah, so that's why I try to, while I'm trading, avoid judging myself while I'm trading. I'm like, this is a decision. It's creating data. I can review the data at the end of the day. Then I'll know what could have been done different. But right now, let me not clog my brain with overthinking. Let me focus on the next play, the next trade, the next decision, right?
100%. You always have to go to the next play. It always, like, man, that's, it's so funny, the parallels, man, because, you know, if you, something happens on the field, they always say next play, right? Worry about the next play. Right. Whatever happens, good play, bad play, it's all about the next play. And at the end of the day, the next day, we'll review the tape and see what happens. Then we'll analyze. Right. But in the moment, your head has to be on the next play, man. If you're looking back, man, you're going to make more mistakes. Right. So,
yeah, I
love that you said that.
Well, I just threw that in there. There wasn't the question. I think this should be like a 12-hour podcast. But like, yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there. But I do have an actual question to the flip side of that. So, you know, let's say there's a mistake, there's always a coaching and learning opportunity, you know, but what about a game where everything goes fantastic? You know, like obviously there's no perfect game, you could have always done better, but let's say like you guys went like 74-0, you just absolutely annihilated that team, it felt easy on the field.
Yeah.
What's the conversation like in the locker room with like coaching staff? What do you guys replay? Like what's the mood around that?
Yeah, no, it's you know what? You definitely celebrate those moments like the day of, right? After the game, it's all, you know, jubilation in the locker room. Everybody's excited. High fives. Coaches feel good because they called a good game. Players feel good. Equipment staff feels good because they taped everybody's ankles perfectly. Everybody feels good. And, you know, the thing about pro football, man, you have to celebrate the good moments because there's enough bad moments to go around, right? Now, there's enough losses to go around. So anytime you can get a win, it's always a team effort. It's always the goal. No matter what happens, you know, you want to go 1-0. So when you win, man, you always celebrate, right? Then the next day is back to work. The next day, in football especially, we always come in, review the film, and the coaches won't ever put up the score. They'll just point out techniques and the plays that didn't go perfectly and highlight those because it's all about getting better. You know the good plays that you did, and they'll tell you you played good, right? But it's more about how we get even better, right? If we just rest on our laurels, say, hey man, you guys had a good game, man, take next week practice off and then we'll see what happens next game, that would never work, right? So they're always reviewing, they're always coaching. And even in some of the best games we've ever had, I mean, it feels good that day, they give you the high five, the props, but the next day you come to the film, they'll tell you, hey man, you should have did this, and it would have been even more separation and we probably would have won by even more, right? So they're always looking to get better, they're always looking to challenge themselves, challenge players into becoming even better. Because, you know, down the line, like you may have won on that play or that day because of some of the things you did. But if you don't correct the mistakes in the moment, it may come back down the line into, with a better team and better opponents that have studied you. And that might not work against them. And that day might result in a loss. Right. So they're always correcting and making sure that, you know, obviously no one's going to be perfect. No team is going to be perfect. No game is going to be perfect. But, you know, you get to as close to as perfection and as close to as techniques that they're teaching as possible.
Wow, my head's going to explode. So much, like, value. Marky and I are on the back end of the notes typing, like, I want next. Yeah, we both came up with the same question. So I'm going to let Mark ask it. He's got a good way of asking awesome questions.
What a gentleman.
So team player.
That's it, team player. So you kind of mentioned in the review process that the coaches never put up the score, right? And the kind of question, rather I'll put it this way. So we often mention that as traders, if our score is the profit and loss on the day, right? And the way that we kind of say it is, if you're checking the score while you're still playing, you're out of the game. You're already out of the game. So I'm curious from your point of view, you know, how does that apply
Dude, 100%. You'll hear, if you ever are close to a football sideline, you always hear the term 0-0. So no matter if you're up or you're down, they'll be yelling 0-0 game, right? So focus on the next drive and score on the next. No matter what is happening, man, they always say 0-0. You never hear a coach be up and say, 0-21. No, it's 0-0. So play that next play like a 0-0. And if you do that, and you it's guaranteed that you're going to give your best effort, because if the score is 0-0, you haven't won and you haven't lost, right? So it's all about just giving your best effort no matter what the outcome is, no matter what the scenario is, no matter what the scenario is in the game. Just give your best effort on the next play and we'll go from there, right? We'll review it after the fact. But right now, right here, this game, it's always 0-0 until the very end.
Yeah, I love that, man. I'm going to have to borrow that terminology. Yeah. I don't know if it's trademarked. 0-0 for sure. Because 0-0. I don't know one single day where I've been up good money and checking it has actually been useful information. No. In fact, it screws everything up. It completely could throw off your rhythm, because the rhythm that you're in is what generated that score. So by checking it, you throw yourself off. Right. You start to overthink things, you know, overcompensating. And it's just, you got to stay in the flow.
It changes the way you trade, or it changes the way you play, right? Like you always see this in sports where a team is up like 30-0, right? And then the second half comes, next thing you know, it's like 30-21, 30-28, right? Because they were checking the score, right? They weren't playing 0-0. Coaches were coaching differently, right? They get less aggressive, or they change the game plan. Hey, we're up now, so let's change the game plan. Next thing you know, the other team is staying aggressive and keeping that foot in the gas. Next thing you know, it's a tie game, and you're like, what happened to our lead, right? So you never want to change the way you approach things. Obviously, you don't want to get reckless. You don't want to act like, you know, you're down, you know, and you're being super aggressive the whole time. But you always want to keep the score 0-0, and that will ensure that you're playing the right way all the time.
That's a TSN turning point, checking out the scoreboard.
Yeah, man.
That's it.
Yeah. It shows them slow-mo looking at the scoreboard. Next thing you know, the game changes.
TSN turning point.
And I think that's such an important thing that you mentioned, right? Because I feel like especially as it relates to trading, because there's money on the line, right? If the first trade of the day, you know, a lot of new traders, they kind of anchor that first trade of the day, right? I guess it'll be similar to for you guys as like the first play of the game, right? So, you know, this is more so for the audience. I kind of want you guys to get this point. It's like, imagine a professional player, the first play of the game isn't the best play. Is the whole game going to go to waste because of that first play not working out, right? Probably not, right? As a professional, that's not going to be the case. So why is that true for trading, right? A lot of people think that if the first trade I take on the day is a red day, they kind of anchor to that. And now every decision they make going forward is based on what just happened. And like Natej just mentioned, you know, if you're focusing on the score, you've already lost the game. So the most important thing as a trader, especially if the first trade of the day is a loss, is 0-0. It's 0-0. I got to focus on making the next play, or in trading the next trade, you know, as good as it can be. So that kind of leads me off to the next point I want to ask you here. And that really has to do with performance. So, you know, we just kind of chatted about the score, checking up on the score. But as it relates to you kind of like analyzing your own performance, do you at the end of the game, do you analyze your performance based on, you know, what the end score is, or like how you perform your job individually? Did you follow your processes for your position, or is it a mix of the two?
Yeah, so that's a tough one, because you do play a team game, right? But, you know, you have a bunch of individuals, you know, trying to play a team game and try to, you know, do what you're coached to do. So for me as a receiver, I always track, okay, did I do what I was assigned to do? Did I complete my assignments? Did I do what I was coached to do? Because each play that we have, you know, you have a position and you have a job and an assignment on each and every play. So every game, a coaches grade players on performance, not by their stats, but how well they completed their task that they're assigned to do. So that's how I grade myself. Okay, did I do my job? All right. Then I look at, okay, how did I play in the game? Like, did I play the way I envisioned myself playing? Did I catch the passes that came my way? Did I, you know, capitalize on my opportunities? Right? Did I did I drop them? Right? So that's something I look at. So two things: did I complete my assignments? Okay, great. But did I capitalize on the opportunities that came my way? Did I make plays when I had the ball in my hands. And three, did we win the game? And obviously winning is very important, but you want to look at how you affected the winning, right? If the team lost, but I played great, obviously I don't feel awesome. But if the team lost and I also perform poorly, then I'm down in the dumps, right? Then I'm like, okay, I probably helped us lose. But if I played well, I'm like, I did everything I could. I feel bad that we lost, but I'm not down in the dumps. I don't feel terrible because I did everything I could to help us win, right? So that's how I go about it. If we win and I play bad, I'm happy a little bit, but I'm also disappointed I didn't play well, and I'm going to go back to my routine and like, what happened? Why didn't I play well? Right. I'm never going to be a situation where, you know, I'm, you know, just dragging my feet down in the dumps while everybody's celebrating. No, we won the game, right? That's the objective, right? But for me to continue to keep my job, I've got to understand that I've got to play well all the time and, you know, go back and look at why I didn't play well. So that's what I look at, when I'm analyzing the result of the game.
Awesome. There was one nugget. I mean, the whole thing was a nugget, but one thing in specific you mentioned, and I kind of want to dig a little bit deeper. You know, you said when you're gauging your performance, you ask yourself, did I play the way I visualized? Right. And I think that's a big nugget, you know, diamond
in
the rough.
That's a big word.
Yeah. Diamond in the rough. Right. Because on the pre-interview call, we kind of chatted and I asked you the same question, you know, do you use visualization? And you said yes, obviously. And if you can kind of go into what you mean by did I play the way I visualized, and like how you utilize visualization to help you really perform?
Yeah, man. Visualization for me is key, man, because I can almost because every game we have a game plan, we have plays, right? So, you know, before the game, I understand every single thing I'm going to be doing, right? I understand it, right? And then I take it a step further. I try to visualize. I try to close my eyes, you know, see the stadium that we're playing in, see the turf, see my opponent, right? See my quarterback saying hut, you know, running through the play and running through exactly the way the play is supposed to be ran and completing it. So I do that for every single play that I'm supposed to be running that day. And by the end of my visualization session or the time I'm done visualizing, I've already played the whole game. I've already felt the emotions of the game. I've already understood how it's going to feel, how it's going to look to do everything I'm supposed to do. So by the time it's game time, I've already almost played the game, right? I've always done everything I'm doing. So it almost alleviates some of the nerves or some of the anxiousness that I have because I felt like I've already put my foot down. I've already, you know, put my, you know, feet in the sand. So now all I have to do is, you know, go back and put them back in. So it really helps me to visualize because, you know, it's almost like you're playing the game twice and now, you know, I've done it already, right? Now it's the easy part. Now I've already won in my head. Now it's just the easy part. I got to go and put my foot down and finish the job.
Exactly. It's just a matter of execution, right? Yeah. You've already done all the work in the back end. It's execution. And the reason I kind of dug into that was because as traders, you know, we often use visualization. Visualization is huge because like Nate just mentioned, by the time he plays the game, he's already played it in his head and it's just a matter of executing. So how it relates to traders, right? Traders, we've got our setups. We know what our setups look like. And when we're planning our next best trades, it's almost like tapping into the same idea, right? Whenever, Georgie, you can add in if you want here, but for me personally, when I'm planning my next best trades, I'm visualizing that. Like I see the market, you know, breaking out, pulling back, retesting a certain level. And that all happens before the market actually develops. But the beauty of that is because I've already visualized it, when it actually occurs in real time, I don't have to think about whether that's an opportunity or not. I'm just clicking the buy or the sell button, right? So, you know, from my own experience, I think visualization's been huge because like you said, man, it's once you've got that vision and you've already kind of lived it, it's just a matter of executing.
Yeah, no surprise. It's not a surprise anymore, right? It's not exactly. Like, oh my God, this happened? Nah, man, I've already seen it.
This was meant to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's when you get, you know, guys that, you know, you'll see on the field, they do stuff and they're just standing there and they understand that, man, like, why are you guys acting surprised, man? This is meant to happen, right?
Yeah, exactly. For me in a trade, Marky, like you mentioned, you know, how we kind of look for this certain pattern. For me in a trade, the way I start is kind of backwards a little bit. I'm more liability focused. So what I'm visualizing, like, what could go wrong here? Because I think when you only focus on the opportunity, it's good, but then you miss some of the risks. So the way I start a trade is like, okay, how am I wrong? And if I can't prove that I'm wrong with what's happening, then obviously there's a good setup. So like sometimes I'm like liability focused where it's like, okay, how will this blow up? Okay, this won't happen. This can't happen. If this happens, what will I do? And once I've run through it enough and I'm aware of the liability, usually the opportunity pops up. And I don't know if you do that as well, Natane, game time decision making, like, you know, how do you do liability management and like, you know, risk management in real time?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Before you mention that, like both of you have different strategies when it comes to trading, right? And for me, and when it comes to routines, there are different guys that have different routines that work for them. But as long as they stick to their routine, then, you know, they understand what's going to happen in the game, right? They understand where their success is going to lie, right? And for me, I just want to say, like, there's no one right routine, right? So, like I said before, like, somebody can't use my routine. Hey, I'm going to try your routine for the week and see what happens. No, it has to be your personal routine. It has to be what you feel comfortable with. And it has to be something that puts you at ease, right? And I see that with you. It's something that, you know, kind of puts you at ease. But when I'm on the field and doing real-time risk management, man, it's real easy for me because, like, football is a game, right? And I understand, like, everything I'm doing, I'm going to get evaluated on, right? And the objective for me is, for my position, is to catch the ball and make something happen, right? But there are certain rules in that, right? So you catch the ball, and there are different situations. If it's a two-minute drill and the clock is running out and, you know, you don't have a lot of timeouts and you don't have a lot of time, I've got to run out of bounds at some point to conserve time, right? If I stay in bounds and you know, force us to use a timeout we didn't want or force the coach to call a play he didn't want, that's going to get me in trouble and that's going to get me benched at a certain point, right? So I'm doing that real-time risk management is understanding the game, understanding the portion of the game I'm in, right? If the certain play calls for me, we don't have a lot of time, I've got to make something happen. Okay, I've got to try to make something happen. Don't run out of bounds in that moment, right? So real time is just understanding, hey, the situation of the game. That's why it's really important to, you know, be an analyst, right? Understand, okay, where am I at? Is it first quarter? Is it second quarter? Third quarter? Fourth quarter? Can I take a chance here, right? You don't want to be taking chances in the fourth quarter, you know, when possessions are limited, right? You want to be taking, if you want to try to do some, you know, unbelievable spin move or run around and try to get loose, do that in the first quarter where your team has time to adjust, right? So it's an ongoing thing where you're always assessing what the risks are, right? How much trouble you might get in from your coaches, you know, for certain guys, like we talked about, star players, they have a longer leash, right? They can do whatever they want to do. And at certain, you know what I mean? They got a longer leash. Other guys, not so much. So you got to analyze that too. It's like, am I ever going to get an opportunity to play if I try this crazy move? Maybe, maybe not. So you got to assess that. You got to understand, you know, what your coach is going to let you get away with, what he's not, and things of that nature. So it's an ongoing thing throughout the game. But it's, for the most part, man, it's about being smart and understanding when there's times to take risks and times to not take risks. And you know, if you're aggressive in the right moments, the coaches, players, everyone's going to love you. But if you take chances unnecessarily in the wrong moments, hey, it could work out. But if it doesn't work out, there's a chance that, you know, everybody's going to be upset and you might never play again.
Wow. All I can say is wow, right? Because... like almost every sentence you say is so relatable to trading, right? It's like you want to be aggressive in the right times, because when it's the right time to be aggressive, you get rewarded, right? But if you get aggressive in the wrong times, like for trading, you can relate it back to volatility. If there's not volatility, you don't have as many opportunities. That's not the time to get aggressive. You're going to get in trouble if you do that. But the thing I really wanted to touch on that I appreciate what you said was the part about being somewhat of an analyst. You know what I mean? And so the thing I kind of want to unpack here is, you know, the analyst versus the player. And the way that we kind of relate this to trading is, as a trader, you kind of split two roles. You're both the boss and you're the employee. right? And so the way that we kind of put this is, as the boss, you're doing the analysis, you're basically determining good levels to get in, to buy or sell. And then the employee doesn't question the analysis from the boss. They just execute on that information. So you kind of mentioned you want to be an analyst as it relates to risk management as a player, right? You analyze whether this, you know, the play I'm going to make here, is it too risky for this time of day? But when it actually comes time to making the play, you're not questioning whether that's the right thing to do. You're executing on that. So can you kind of unpack that a little bit?
Yeah, man. Once you make a decision, man, you got to just go, right? Because that's when accidents happen. Like, you look at anywhere in life, you know, on the street, like you're driving, man, once you make a decision to get in another lane, just go. If you're halfway in that lane, you cause an accident, and it's going to be bad for everyone involved, right? So in sports, man, if I'm deciding to, you know, make a risky play, I've got to just put my head down and put my foot on the gas and just go. Because if I don't, if I go half-ass, I'm going to get stuck in the middle, right? It's going to be a big loss for me. It's going to be a big loss for the team. So once you make that decision, the coaches will always say, man, like, aggressiveness at the end of the day wins, man. If you're going to make a mistake, make it full speed, right? Because if you do something half-ass, it's always going to be a mistake. It's never going to work, right? So always go full speed no matter what you do. Even if it's a mistake, we'll correct it later, but do it at full speed.
That's awesome. I just wanted to take one step back, because you said another fascinating thing there before this one, is you mentioned that star players have a longer leash, right? And so I think that's interesting, because I mean, there are exceptions where there's like star players that are clutch players. But I also think that with a longer leash comes a bigger liability. Like, if you're on the field with somebody who's a star, and I, you know, I don't want to make it personal, et cetera. Obviously, you got to manage the brand here. But like when you're on the field with a star, you almost don't know what to expect from them, right? It's unique in football, because you guys are a team sport. You win as a team. Whereas in trading, it feels like it's an individual thing, but there's a team aspect as well. So it's like, the more that you have a longer leash, I think there's more liability opportunity there too, right? And in trading, it's like, do you want to be a star? Do you want to be, you know, putting Lambos on Instagram? Or do you want to be like clutch? Because I think the people who get motivated by the Lamborghinis on Instagram, those people secretly know, I don't want this. It's cool that you could get this, but I just want to protect my family. I want to do good for them. I want to provide, right? So it's like, you know, focusing on being a clutch player versus being a star is, I would argue, is how you become a star player. I don't know, that's just my two cents.
Yeah, man. And a lot of that has to do with consistency, man. Because, okay, like there's different questions. Like, you want to be like a all-star for a couple years, or you want to play 20 years, right? And keep getting those checks, right? And when I always come back to, man, I want to be a guy that's consistent and that plays 20 years. And you know, and I can kind of control, you know, how long I'm playing. I don't want to be a star and just fizzle out, because, you know, like you said, like stars, they do have a longer leash, but it's also like more liability, because, you know, they know they can, you know, take chances and sometimes get away with it. But, you know, they may get run into the wrong coach or the wrong situation where they take the wrong chance and it's fatal. Right. So,
yeah.
And, you know, like, you know, guys that aren't star players never really get to that point where it's fatal, because they're always doing that risk management and understanding, man, I'm not trying that, because if it fails, then it's over for me, right? So that's, but a star player thinks differently. He's like, man, I'm going to try that. I'm a star player. I've done it before. Let me go do that. Next thing you know, they fumble, or, you know, they give the ball away, and then no one ever trusts them again, right? So I'd rather be I've been the star player. But it's like where I'm at now, it's more about consistency and being around for a long time, not a great time.
Yeah, exactly. And part of that's your maturity too, right? You've been in the league and the game for long enough. So I think just the younger kids that fall into that, yeah. It's just that you could tell somebody something, but you got to experience it to know it and to get to that point in the career, to have longevity. I don't think anyone starts in the league with longevity expectations. Right. I think they want to, you know, like be great.
Yes.
And then like, I want to be around. I just shift to that.
Yeah. Jalen Rose, I don't know if you guys know him. He was a basketball player. He's an analyst now, man. And his number one quote is like, keep getting checks. Right. So he'll see guys at the end of the bench on the NBA team, and they'll be around for years and years. He's like, hey man, I ain't mad at you. Keep getting checks.
Love it, man. It's true. At the end of the day, like that's what you're working for. As long as you're getting the checks, everything has to fall in play if you want to keep getting them.
Yeah, exactly. There was one thing really interesting you mentioned. You said you wanted to control how long you get to play, right? And so on the topic of control, you know, we kind of spoke about this in the pre-interview call. You know, as a football player, you're in a sport where it's not an individual sport. It's a team sport, but there's definitely that individual component. So I'm kind of curious if you can kind of expand on this for the audience. You know, what as a team player here, you know, what do you focus on? You know, how do you not focus on the stuff that you can't control, and how do you maintain focus on the stuff that you can control?
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's a tough one, because, you know, I always like to say we're all individuals that we just happen to play a team sport, right? So how I look at it is, okay, not everybody can be a superstar, right? But you can be a superstar in your role, right? So whatever role that is set out for, you may not like it. You may love it. You may hate it. But if you're a superstar in that role, you're going to be afforded more opportunities, and you're going to be able to stick around as long as you need to, right? So that's how I look at it, man. Like, I was like, you know, whatever role, like, you're given in life, like, do the best you can at that role, right? Then more things are going to happen. Are you going to get more by having a role and then complaining about it if you're at a company? No. If you're doing your best job, maybe somebody else sees the work you're doing. Like, hey, man, I see greatness in you. I, you know, come over here. We have a bigger role for you. So that's how I always approach it, man. And I always love that mindset, man. It's like, because I've had roles where, you know, I've been the guy that gets a lot of passes. And then I have roles where I'm on the bench. But whatever role I'm in, I'm always trying to be the best I can be in that role, and always striving for greatness no matter what. So that's my approach to that.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Ed. This is going to be a perfect segue into the next kind of question here. You mentioned greatness. You mentioned being the best that you can be. So can you kind of discuss, like, the role of self-worth and how that kind of relates back to, you know, being a professional athlete? Because obviously you guys are at the top of your game, you know, out, from the outside looking in, it's like you get to the top. Obviously I would imagine you have a high sense of self-worth, but, you know, that being the case, you've got a full team of players that are as good, if not, you know, better than you. So I'm kind of curious, what role does self-worth play in, you know, in the mindset of a pro athlete?
Yeah, great question, man. But, you know, honestly, every athlete believes they're the best on the team, right? Like, everybody, you wouldn't be there if you didn't think you're the best, like, at every level. Because especially at the professional level, you're dealing with everybody on your team was the best in high school, was one of their top players in college, right? And then now on their team, and there's different roles for everyone, right? So there's a certain belief in everyone that they're the best, because you've had to think that you're the best at all walks of your life to get to that point, right? But then you get to the pros and, you know, you have a different role, and it's a huge adjustment for some people, and some people never adjust, and then they're not in the league, right? So It's a big mental process that you got to go through, and it takes some guys longer to kind of understand that. But the self-worth, man, it's always going to be something that athletes have, because, you know, by the time you get to the professional level, you've been playing your sport for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, right? So you're going to always believe that you're one of the top guys, but it's up to you to also understand everybody else on your team is the top guy, was the top guy in their college, in their high school, and they're also great. So something's got to give, right? Something's got to give. That's where I come back to, you got to understand what your role is, if it's defined, and just trying to be a superstar in that role, whatever it is.
Beautiful. All the nuggets today, man. All the nuggets.
Yeah, we came out swinging. I love this one. This is my favorite one to record. I just I want to ask you one last one, because I think that, you know, this is on a lot of people's minds. By the way, I just brought my son. I'm sorry if there's any background noise. I'm doing daddy duty. We have to split with the wife today. But
That's everybody right now, man, at home. Yeah, doing double duty.
Exactly. But I wanted to ask you, like, with self-worth, et cetera, we all believe to perform, you got to believe you're the best, you know, like, you got to, and not just think it, you got to believe it. So I'm just curious, to the flip side of that, how does, because in trading, you know, we have expectations, our family members say we're crazy for doing this. I'm sure people told you you're crazy for wanting to be an athlete, right? And you constantly get this, like, from the media, from the fans, I don't want to say negative energy, but these opinions of people who don't necessarily experience what you do and the work level required to put on the performance you do. So how do you deal with that negative pressure expectation? You know, like, is there training to help you guys with that? And then what are some of your own personal tips?
Man, that's, you guys are full of great questions. I don't know where you guys are getting these from. But yeah, man, especially this day and age with social media, you're getting, you know, dudes from all places just kind of critique, you know, things that you're doing, whether, you know, it's good or bad. But I always, you know, like the saying, and never get too high, never to get too low, right? Because, you know, you're playing great, you know, people will pump you up and you'll start to feel great, right? But if you just believe that, you believe the Kool-Aid, you're going to be all full. And then once you have something negative happen, you're not going to know how to deal with it. So I always say, man, never think, never too high and never too low, right? Never think, they always say in a game, you never played as great as you think, and you never played as bad as you think. You're somewhere in the middle, right? You've always got to stay somewhere in the middle. That's how I deal with it. And I'm most tough on myself. Like, if I have a bad game, there's no one going to be tougher on me than me. Sometimes I have a good game. If people will say, hey, man, you had a good game, I'm thinking about all the plays I messed up on, right? Because I have this insane obsession to just be great, right? And I beat myself up more than anybody else can beat me up. So I always have to be reminded. I always have to, you know, remind myself, is like, man, it was never as bad as you think it was. It was never as good as you think it was. It's somewhere in the middle. And that's the biggest thing that's helped me stay even keel. Because I am a guy that is, I don't want to say emotional, but I like when things happen in the game after, I feel it. Like, especially, like, not so much the good stuff. If something, you know, bad, I think is bad happens, man, I'm on myself, right? So I've got to do, I've learned to do a better job at staying even keel and understand. And it's gotten, you know, honestly, when you're younger and you're playing sports, like I said, like, you know, the competition is not as crazy when you're younger, right? So, you know, you have more great moments than bad moments. But then you get older, you know, they're better players you're facing, it's going to kind of even out. And then you get to the professional level, it's almost like almost even. It's just as many good moments as just as many bad moments. So it's more important now to kind of get a hold of that. And I think I've tried to understand, like, that's how I work. And that's, I've always need to be reminded, like, hey, man, stay even keel. It's never as good as you think it is. It's never as bad as you think it is. So stay even keel. And it's tough, especially with social media and things like that. And, you know, so sometimes it's good to, you know, turn that stuff off, because they will pump you up when you're doing good, but they also let you know when you're doing bad.
Love it. Isaiah was giving you the biggest smile as you were answering that.
I'm like, guy, can't wait to meet him.
Yeah, me too, man. Post-COVID, we're definitely getting together.
Let's get it.
I had one last one. I know I said that last time, but then I'm done, because I know we could talk for like 12 hours.
Yeah.
So, like, when, for example, like you mentioned a few times, when you get to the pro level, everyone is equally as good, you know. So from your experience in the league, and you've had a longer career than the average, it blows my mind that it's like less than 3 years.
Yo, 2.9, man.
2.9. What you guys do is absolutely nuts. I appreciate it. And, you know, for sacrificing yourself for the game. But if everyone is equally as good, like, what is the difference maker between a championship team and, like, one that, you know, tries, obviously, and doesn't make it?
Dude, the margins between the athletes in the league are so thin. It just comes down to coaching. It comes down to for individuals, it comes down to mental, right? It comes down to, are you able to handle, you know, good days as well as bad days? Are you able to, you know, stay disciplined in your routines, right? Because everybody's, like, athletically gifted. But if you're not continuously working to get better, you're not going to last, right? Like, I would tell you, man, like I said this before, man, I've had dudes in high school that are better athletes than me. Dudes in college that are way better athletes than me. But right now, like, they're not playing the game because they weren't disciplined in their routines. They didn't take it as serious. They didn't take care of, you know, their classwork, or they didn't take care of this and that. Whatever the reason was, right? They had potential, but they didn't take care of what they were supposed to take care of. So that's for me, man, everybody is really, really, really close. But, you know, for successful individuals, it comes down to accountability. It comes down to your discipline. It comes down to your work ethic, obviously. And it comes down to, you know, how bad do you want it? Are you willing to, you know, sacrifice, you know, going out, you know, once in a while to, you know, get some extra film in? Are you wanting to sacrifice, you know, chasing, you know, women or chasing whatever, you know, to for the greater good of your own body, right? So, and then for teams, right, that comes down to coaching, because I've seen teams that are really talented not win games, but the teams that were, you know, maybe less talented but had great coaches, that had a great culture, that had great philosophy and great play design, right, do really well, right? So, and you think about the New England Patriots, you know, the players aren't like super talented, but they, more times than not, they're winning Super Bowls, right? So that's how teams are successful. And when it's really close margins, man, it's stuff that, you know, isn't really physical. It's always mental, man.
Yeah. Blows my mind how similar our two industries are, honestly. Like, we always talk about it, but like, I got to clean up the floor. You spilled food. But we always talk about it, but to actually get a chance to chat with you, and like, the similarities are insane. And I thank you for, first of all, doing the interview with us. Second of all, you know, coming to Trade Pro Academy, learn about trading. You're going to be a star trader, man. Like, these are the things that people don't think they need, but it's critical for success. You already got that. It's just terminology and just a playbook is all you need, you know?
I appreciate that, man. And like I said, I'm probably not be great in the beginning, but I'm willing to put the work in there. I appreciate you showing me Trade Pro, man. Like we talked about, man, like especially with, you know, COVID and everything that's happened, people have had to, you know, evaluate things. And this is something that's really great, especially if people are looking to learn more about, you know, the trade world and money and finances and how stocks go down. It's just fantastic. I've learned so much in such a short period of time, and I'm kicking myself because I'm like, where have you been at, George, man? Where have you been at? But no, honestly, thank you guys for having me, man. It's been a blast.
Thank you, brother. I feel the same way. You know, where have you been at? We should have had this chat a long time ago. I'm glad we connected, and we're working on some big things. So thanks again for being on. Marky, I'll let you wrap it up if you have anything.
Yeah, perfect. Just one last question for the audience. One last one here. And, you know, this thing, it's about longevity, right? And so my question for you is, you know, as somebody that's been in the league for a good time, you know, like Georgie said, you're well above the average career for, you know, for the industry that you're in. Like, the question for me is, what motivates you at that point? You know, you've gotten to the top, you've achieved what you've achieved. What keeps you going on a day-to-day basis?
Man, that's a great one, because, you know, you're right. Like, I have played longer than the average, but I always, what motivates me is like being better than the year before. I just always want to, every year I play, I always want to be better than the year before. And that's something like magically I've been able to accomplish. Like every single year, I've noticed that I've gotten better at whatever my goals were. So like, I always adjust my goals, right? And always try to meet my goals, whatever my goals are, for that year. Always try to meet them, always try to exceed the year before, and consistently always strive and be better than the day before, better than the week before, and better than the year before. So that's something that it's always in my head, and that's something that I carry with me with whatever I do. Like, I always, you know, think about, okay, man, like, you know, I'm teaching my daughter in virtual school, man. How am I going to be better today than I was yesterday, right? How am I going to communicate and help her with her work better than I did last week, right? So it's just something, I don't know if it's just specifically to me, but it's always something that I've always, you know, just always striving to be better than I was, you know, yesterday. Because it's just, it's not a great, I guess as a human being, it's not great to be always getting worse, right? Like, yeah. you want to feel like, man, every year has been just the worst year of my life. No, that's terrible. So I always try to take the opposite approach and always striving, especially in sports, because I always know, like, if you're not getting better in sports, man, it's so competitive that somebody's going to come take your spot. Somebody's going to be always hungrier than you, always, and want it more than you. So I'm all like, man, I don't want anybody to take my spot. I like playing, you know, football for a living. I like playing, doing what I love for a living, because it's definitely a privilege that I don't take for granted. Like, I get to go, you know, do the same thing I've been doing since I was going to recess in fourth grade, right? So, it's something that's what keeps it happening, right? Having that competitive spirit, having that, you know, energy to always want to, you know, improve on a day-to-day, yeah, week-to-week and year-to-year basis.
Yeah, you know what? You know, that was a perfect way to wrap this thing up, because what you said can't hold any more true in trading as well, right? And, you know, even more so, I think that's a general life principle, right? Like you mentioned, if you're not growing, you're dying at the end of the day, right? And I think that's the biggest nugget that you guys, the audience, can take away from today. You know, always strive to be better. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to try to do magical things overnight, 1% better a day. And, you know, like he said, he seems to magically achieve the goals year over year. And it's not because he just thinks about them. It's because he takes it one day at a time. The results of the actions, the habits, the behaviors every day compounds day over day, compounds week over week. Those turn into months. And surprise, you have a magical year. So, Nate, really, really appreciate you jumping on with us today.
Absolutely. I got a question for you guys before I get out, man. Yeah, so course. You guys have asked me a bunch of questions, but I have a question for you.
Like, the tables have turned.
Yeah, tables are. What's the difference between an average trader and a great trader? What's the difference between like a? Because I know the difference between a good player and an average player, but what's the difference? Like, what makes a great trader? What makes someone a trader that is profitable at the end of the day? I want both of you guys to answer that.
All right,
you go first, Marky.
Sure, I'll take this one. Literally everything you talked about today. Number one, you know, mindset is huge. I think the traders that are extremely successful, first and foremost, they have the mindset for it, right? There's mental toughness, there's resilience. Oftentimes, I mean, 99% of the cases I know of people that have found great success in trading, they had to take a couple knocks to the face, right? And it's being able to take those knocks, getting back up. And the other thing is like work ethic. That's huge, right? It's the traders that, like you said, with your game tapes, right? You guys review the game tapes, you look at weaknesses, you look at what you did well, and you optimize. And that's what elite traders do. They have the mindset, they work on their mindset, they have a routine in play, they use that routine every day, right? Because that's what gets you in the right mindset to perform. And more than that is, you know, they put in the work. It's as simple as doing that, right? It's your wind sprints before school, right? It's doing your research before the market opens, looking at overnight drivers, etc. And then it's just review, man. It's just review, looking at the trades you did. Are you following your plan? Are you following your process? If not, what's taking you off course? How do I fix that so I don't make the same mistake next time? And it's the culmination of all those things that, you know, in my opinion, that's what makes a trader an elite trader.
I love that, man. It's the similarities are glaring. It's uncanny, man. I love that. George?
You know, yeah, for me, honestly, Nate, it's like when people start out in this business, a lot of them, like you said, you love football, right? And when you start trading, you know, people start because of the money. And then they set an unrealistic expectation. So like, you know, I'm going to start to make X amount of money. And then when they underperform against that expectation, they say to themselves, oh, I'm not doing good. I'm not being successful. But the expectation was never realistic to begin with, right? So a lot of people say, I'm not doing good, but really they're doing better than the average. And they kind of get discouraged. So for me, what kind of separates a great trader from the average one is being committed to the process, right? Knowing that you're going to be disciplined enough to do the play, to put in the work, focus on the process, and knowing that what you do creates the result versus just expecting it to begin with. I think that's what differentiates. And unfortunately, that's why it's so hard for the average person, because they're not trained in psychology and performance mind state, right? And that's what we do at TradePro. We really start with psychology first, teaching people what it takes to succeed. And then they just, with their focus on the process, create that result. So it's, you know, managed expectations and trading psychology are the two things that really get you to the end stage as a great trader.
That's awesome, man. And I honestly, for me too, I find that, I mean, it's good to have goals, right? But when you have like expectations before you really are in an industry, when you're new in the industry, it leads to disappointment more often than not, right? So yeah, for me, I've always, you know, thought about, you know, having goals, you know, once I understand what is expected of me, right? Like, so when I'm playing football for my first year ever, I'm not like, oh, I'm going to lead the team in touchdowns, right? Like, how is that going to happen? I don't even understand how to play the game, right? So I'm going to play for a year and then understand, okay, man, this is what I'm capable of. This is what the game is all about. Then I come back and formulate, you know, a plan. Okay, I can get how to get better based off of how I was, right? So for me, that's how I always looked at it. But you guys, you know, it hit the nail on the head, and you know, it's crazy how much similar football and trading, or any sport and training, or anything in life and trading is, right? So, you know, it's always, yeah. It's funny to see those similarities.
everything you've done as an athlete to this point, sorry for the background noise, everything you've done as an athlete to this point will serve you like tremendously in trading as well.
That's good to hear, bro. That's good to hear.
Yeah, exactly. This guy's going nuts. Yeah, I just wanted to say before I wrap it up personally, that, you know, I send you guys, your family, you know, your beautiful family, love, joy, happiness. Also, good luck on the upcoming season. I know you guys are back in session, and you guys are going to crush it. I send you and the whole Argos team a bunch of love. Do you get a portion of jersey sales? Is it acceptable to ask this?
You can ask. No, we don't. No, a few people have asked me. I'm like, nah, man. But still go get that jersey.
Still get the jersey. And I encourage people listening to get it as well. I love the number 3, too. So, hey, it works.
We got to get it up in the office.
Yeah, for sure. Will you sign it for us?
I got you all day.
Perfect. Awesome, man.
Awesome. Awesome to Tay, man. It's been an absolute pleasure. I can definitely see that we're gonna have to do more of these, because I can imagine this is gonna be one of our top performing episodes. And so I really appreciate you know, the time that you put in, you know, all of the great insight. You know, thanks for opening up on the journey and, you know, the challenges and, you know, the successes that you've had as a player. And and like Georgie said, you know, we wish you nothing but the best. I think the preseason starts sometime in May, so, you know, we'll be tuned in, and you got the Trade Pro office cheering you on. Appreciate you, man.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Yeah, thank you so much for the platform and allowing me to share, you know, some of my experiences and wisdom with, you know, your audience. And I appreciate that a lot. And, you know, I think we'll be seeing each other more than you think.
Definitely.
And, love it, man.
And before we sign out, Nate, how can people find you? You know, you've also got there one thing that we almost missed. Nate's got his own podcast as well. So can you just let people know how they can find you on any of the socials and how they can get their ears on that podcast of yours?
Absolutely. So I do have a podcast called the All Ball Podcast. It's a more sports centered podcast, but we're going to have a few different guests on in the future. But, you know, it's a cool podcast. It's a player to player podcast, a lot of jokes, a lot of inside stories where I share, you know, things that happen to me with our guests, and they kind of, you know, do the same thing back. You know, I've had guys like Pinball Clemens, Jose Batista, and a bunch of guys in the CFL. So it's been cool so far, looking to grow, looking to have more entertainers and trade pro specialists on there. You can find me on Instagram at NateJ3. That's NateyAdjei3. Twitter at Tay_11. And the All Ball Podcast. No, have a listen. Hopefully you love it.
Awesome, guys. We'll make sure to link all that stuff in the show notes. And if you guys are sports enthusiasts, you know, make sure to check this out, especially if you guys are doing fantasy football. This is something you really need to get your ears on. So again, thanks, Nate, and we'll see you soon, I have no doubt.
All right, fellas, cheers.
Take it easy. Man,
thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.